Nicole Whitney News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
I'm feeling enormous energy around.
It began with one journalist fighting three incurable diseases and raising two young children on her own. Launching a positive news newspaper in January 1997. Over the years, the spirit-driven project survived, transformed, and eventually thrived. And now, newsforthesoul.com is continuing to bring truly life-changing talk radio to the entire world. Here's your host and founder of News for the Soul Broadcasting, Nicole Whitney.
And we are live. Happy Friday the 13th. I'm Nicole Marie Whitney. This is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Got all that covered and going on in full today. Special day, talking to someone who I have not actually talked to yet. And as I read through the bio, I'm wondering, why in the heck have I not talked to her yet? As we're here to talk about, well, one of the many things is her third book called Bright Light, Dee Wallace, who you all probably remember from such movies as E.T. and Cujo and many of the other fear-based films out there coming out of Hollywood. That's going to be where we start today, I think, is how the queen of fear films has ended up being an author of books like Bright Light and talking about empowerment and healing and consciousness and all the things that we've talked about here for about 16 years on News for the Soul. Let's find out. Dee Wallace, welcome to News for the Soul.
Oh, so bloody happy to be here with you this morning. How are you?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm pretty awesome. I just get up every morning and I create me as awesome. And I create my day as awesome. And, man, when I look back on all the years I didn't do that, I go, geez, why? So I'm out here telling everybody, I think when you find the freedom and the joy of life, it's just not your duty, not your job, but your passion to get out and share with people how awesome it is. And how easy it is to create it that way, really.
Well, this is why what you're doing and what many people are doing in getting this message out is so important, because when you're doing that, not creating awesome, you're not aware that you're creating the not awesome.
That's really well said. Yeah, it all begins with you. You're the God of you. You get to choose your thoughts and your perceptions and your reactions. And what most people don't understand is that there's like every thought that's ever been thought out there. They're hanging out there. And they're waiting to match themselves up with whatever thought you want to choose out there. So a thought is literally an emotional, electrical charge that happens in your body that makes you become a magnet to the like energy that's out there in the universe. So if I say I'm pretty awesome and magnificent, that's a whole And you can feel it. You can feel the different charge in your body around, wow, I rock. I'm awesome. I'm magnificent. I'm powerful. That's a whole different charge that you send out into the universe than, you know, I'm a victim and I don't really have any control over my life and a lot of crap's coming down. You know, that's a whole different charge that you can emotionally feel. And that's what goes out into the universe. And the universe says, well, I'll match anything you send me, babe. So, you know, pick a new thought. You don't want that same charge returned to you. It's got to start with you and the shift within you of what you do with your own light. I think the challenge is that we are the light that has to direct our own light. You know, everything is created from light into physical form. And we literally are the light that gets to direct our own light. So where are we pointing that thing, right? What are we doing
Absolutely.
With it?
Absolutely. Now, this is just so, okay, we have to start here because we've got to, you know, talk about the elephant in the room here, all right? I'm talking to Dee Wallace, who has been in such films as The Howling, The Frighteners, The Hills Have Eyes, Stepford Wives, and so on. So where does your story start? How did you become on this path of that level of consciousness and awareness in human development while you're working, and I think still working, right, in the film industry?
I just finished the Beach Boys movie, and I'm off to do a zombie film, a really good zombie film.
I love zombie films.
Back in Philadelphia. But, you know, that's an interesting question. I came in knowing. We all come in knowing. So what we do isn't really what it's about. It's who we are.
Yeah.
But we're taught that it's what we do, and so I know that the thing that supersedes everything else in creation is, as you believe, it's going to be delivered to you, baby. And so the world is a matrix. We can literally pick whatever perception, whatever belief we want, and we walk through that door, and that it's what the reality seems to be in our life, because that's the only reality we can see, because all of our reality comes from how we see ourselves in the world. So, I mean, I was hearing dead people when I was, you know, 7 years old. I was talking to people, voices on my stairs going up to my room, and hearing voices say, help me, will you help me? And I didn't know any better, so I said, well, I'll help you. What do you want? And the voice said, can you love me? And so even back then, I was getting the message that I know is the most important message for everybody today, is love. And we've heard it forever. You know, I mean, E.T., keep your heart light open. Wizard of Oz, you had the power all along, Dorothy. Christ, you know, love heals everything. Buddha, you can't be in fear if you're in love. I mean, we've heard it for frickin' ever. But it's so simple, we just don't think it's the answer. And so as human beings, of course, we want to make it all important and difficult and figure that the more we struggle, the bigger the win, right? So we're locked in that belief that we really have to struggle to understand a very simple truth, that if you just choose to be joy and love, everything else in your life clears up. And there are people, I guarantee you, out there right now going, please, what BS? It's, you know, I'm just supposed to choose to live in love and joy. And I'm going, yeah, if you want the highest truth, that's it. Because whatever you are, the rest of your world becomes. The universe cannot match anything that you aren't, period.
Well, the good news is you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah,
we've done a lot of work over 16 years, and we, for the most part, I think people have come to the understanding here, the strong community anyway, maybe not the people that are new to the information, but you know what comes up is, yeah, I know that, right? not so easy to actually do, perhaps because of whatever is going on. And I think you hit on part of it big time is the beliefs. But, you know, is it easy to do?
It's a choice, you know. It's a choice. And if people want to keep saying it's not so easy to do it, then that's the only reality that they can create. You see, you have to choose the new way, the new perspective, the new thought, the new electrical charge that I'm going to live in love and joy no matter what, and it's going to be easy and effortless and joyful because that's the way I am directing my energy to be. And that's what it comes down to, is not empty affirmations and not desperate prayer, but you are literally here to learn how to manipulate and direct energy. That's what I believe we're here for. And
well, you have my vote.
Good. Yay. And I'm sure most people that listen to you because, you know, you're pretty advanced information here, and the people that listen to you must be on board in lots of ways, you know. Otherwise, they would go, can't even deal with this craziness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, who's responsible for your choice? And if you're looking at things being difficult, then that is the reality that you must create for yourself because your belief systems support that. You see, I never looked at Cujo as a horror film. I looked at Cujo as a testimony to what a mother's love would do for her child. I never looked at The Howling as a horror film. I looked at it as a study of the light and the dark in human nature. So, but I can tell you, I've certainly done horror films that don't have a lot of social redeeming value in them. And through my 40 years, I absolutely know that my own fears of lack of self-worth, of am I going to make it, am I going to be able to provide a home for my daughter after my husband dies, am I going to be able to create my health through my older years, those fears, much greater than any werewolf or rabid dog I ever had to run away from. And that's
now
the
that's
beauty
something
of horror
everyone can understand.
Yeah, that's the beauty of horror films. Just like all of the Disney classics that have a bad queen or a bad octopus in the ocean, right? We go to horror films to learn to handle our own fears. And the more we can handle our fears without totally disengaging from the reality of them, which I believe all the news coverage of Vietnam and everything had helped us literally to disengage and become, move away from our empathy. We saw it so much that we got so fearful that we shut down and said, I'm not going to deal with it. It's really interesting in my business. If you look at the movies of the week, for example, and the emotional renditions in the 80s, they were much fuller. They were much truer. They were, much more dramatically portrayed. After 9/11, many people pulled back, shut down their heart, and said, oh, my God, holy hell, we've been hit in this country. I can't even deal with it. I can't even think about it. I can't even begin to understand what this means. So I'm going to shut my heart down. And they're showing me, my channel is showing me ET now. You can't get back home if you shut your heart down. You just can't. But what we're trained to do is the first time we're hurt anywhere in our lives, when we're abandoned, when we're abused, when we're betrayed, what do? We shut our heart down. And then we cannot experience our power and stay in conscious creation of our lives.
Mm, totally true. Absolutely. Very important. You know, I want to kind of go a little bit linear here for a minute. I could just, you're one of those people I could talk to forever, and we'll just go on the way we are. But I want to get a little bit of background for the audience, because we're coming into your story a little late. It's the first time we've talked. Just reading the little notes that were sent over by your promo guy there, and you're already on your third book. What were your first two books about? When did you get to the point from being aware to going, oh, I have to spread this message and help people?
Well, the same place I get my messages from my channel. And the channel said you just have to write a book about your journey and the enlightenment that you've received. I mean, you know, basically I'm the girl next door. I came from Kansas from a very poor background. My father was an alcoholic, ended up shooting himself in the head. We had to live with my grandmother because we were poor. You know, so I'm not the movie star talking about being happy and successful and more abundant because I always have been. I've been on the journey like most of your listeners. And my channel said, you have to write this book. Well, I didn't know how to write a book. I'm an English teacher. I have an English major. But I didn't know the first thing about writing a book. And so I worked with an editor who was also a very clairaudient channel like I am. And she helped me, and at some point she had to drop away. And I had rewritten it like four times because the bloody information kept changing, right? I would just get to the point where I go, oh, I understand this, and then my understanding would expand, which, by the way, is the way life works forever and forever and forever. We will just expand our understanding of what we already know. So I kind of put it aside, and then I had a reading with John Edwards, a celebrity reading, and he had his show on. And he's sitting there, and he's going, okay, well, my late husband, Christopher Stone, which is why I wanted to do the reading with him, was coming through. And he said, Dee, he's showing me writing, and okay, it's a book. Are you writing a book? And I said, well, I was. And he said, okay, the message to you is very clear. You must write this book. You've got to finish this book, whether you start from the very beginning and do it all over again, you've got to write this book. So that was enough impetus for me to sit down and finish Conscious Creation, which is my first book. And it's still what I teach with a hugely expanded understanding. All of the words you understand in Conscious Creation are still, I'm testing this, I'm getting a yes, 100% accurate. The understanding of what I said expanded exponentially over the, you know, the last 7-8 years. And then my second book, I call my toilet book lovingly. I wrote with one of my healing partners, Jared Hewitt, and it's called The Big E, and E is for energy. And it's really a humorous exploration through all of the colloquialism and sayings that we've all been raised with, that were used incorrectly to limit us and control us as children, right, or people. Mm-hmm. And what they really mean in the realms of the spiritual New Age definition. And it's, you know, each page is like, or each colloquialism is like a page, page and a half. So it's great to read on the toilet, great to keep by your bed. Right? You can just, I have a lot of clients that just keep it by their bed and open it up and go, okay, what do I need to know today? Right? My third book, Bright Light, is right now closest to my heart. It's, well, it's my journey and it's everybody's journey of knowing and being hurt and getting lost and hopefully coming back to the creation of who you are in a conscious way. And it's told through as an autobiography of my work and all my movies and my exploration in relationships with my husband and the birth of my daughter. And but a lot of the movies, a lot of the directors, a lot of the big ways I got hurt in the business, which I allowed to shut me down, right? So everybody listening now, you know, what's the biggest thing in your life that you're still allowing to run you, to be your story, to not, to be the excuse not to empower you into the greatness of who you are? You know what it is. We've all got it. And we're the only ones that are going to change it. They're never going to say they're sorry. They're never going to not do it. They're never going to take it back. It's a fact. It's been done. We were raped in some way or another. And we get to recreate us now anyway. And Bright Light is, it's funny and it's touching and it's a beautiful book that's helped many, many people. So they're, all three books are very different, you know, in how the content is shared with everybody.
That's beautiful. I absolutely want to read that. I have not seen a copy yet. Do you have audio books as well, or are they in print only?
No, I have an audio book of conscious creation that I did myself. And all of these things, I mean, they're offered on Amazon and in some Barnes & Nobles, but you can go to my website and order them, and I'll, you know, I'll sign them for you and personalize them for you if you order them through my website, which is iamdwallace.com. All my work is based on the I Am principle, that literally whatever you say is what you create, what you claim. See, ask and you receive. Well, ask in the original Hebrew meaning is claim or demand.
Mm.
It's not, can I have this, please? It is, I am directing the energy to give this to me now. I am claiming it. I am staking my claim of the truth of what I am asking here. So it's much more powerful than most people realize.
It is. Well, you can feel the powerful difference between those two approaches, right? One has no power at all.
Yes. One of them is saying to some energy outside of us, I have no power, can you do it for me? And that energy outside of us, and it states this very clearly in the I Am discourses, God, the force, divine love, whatever your term is for the energy of creation itself, cannot and will not intervene without your clear direction of it. So we can either direct energy consciously or unconsciously. You can sit there and watch an hour of TV and unconsciously accept all of the suggestions of disease and fear and the age that you'll probably get it. Or you can sit there and watch consciously and go, yeah, that's interesting. I'm perfect health. That's the direction of my energy. I'm joy and love. And that creates perfect health for me.
Absolutely. You know what I want to ask you about? You mentioned about your channel, your clairaudience. I mean, I was really relating to your story about how you were being guided about the book and that it would change and evolve and information would come through. That's basically how this network started. Was, I mean, none of this was my idea whatsoever. And I didn't know how to, it actually told me to, which is what I want to ask you, is it told me to build a newspaper, didn't know how to do that. So it took my first disability check and I had three incurable diseases and all this, on and on. Anyway, and then each time it would level up. Like, I've always wondered what it is. So what do you define that that guidance voice as?
God. People call into my show once and said, who do you channel? I went, I don't have the slightest idea. Let's ask. And the information that came through was, I channel all thought and all possibility. And I went, Well, to me, that's the definition of God. And they said, exactly. So you can call it angels, same energy. You can call it guides, same energy. Because that's one thing that religion and spirituality and science all agree on, is that there's only one energy. Everything is energy. Everything. So I'm God, God's me. I'm the angels are me.
That worked now, for me, I'll tell you, because it felt like God was talking to me, and I didn't want to piss
absolutely.
God off, so I just did what it said.
You know, and what happened was you became so vulnerable. These are not my words. I'm talking through the channel here. My voice doesn't change, and I still crack jokes, and sometimes they're dirty, even when I'm in the channel. So that you became so vulnerable that you gave up and opened your channel so that you could, you were asking for answers and asking for help. And because you were asking, claiming, demanding, then the universe could match that and bring you in thoughts out from out there, God, right? All thought and all possibility, that you attracted that, and you went, oh, I heard a new thought. I allowed something new to come in because I asked. And that's channeling. That's my best explanation of channeling, is that you get the hell out of the way so that you can start hearing new stuff that you've never allowed yourself to explore before.
That makes sense. And that is what it felt like at the time. It was very, I mean, everything was hopeless and dark, and I was, you know, young and on disability and alone and, you know, a one-year-old and an eight-year-old. I mean, it was like a little beam of light in the darkness. And I'm articulating this because there can be people listening right now that, you know, something's trying to connect with them and they're not open or listening or paying attention yet. And, I mean, if God or whatever it is, you know, talked to me 16 years ago and this birthed out of it, imagine, you know, if we were all paying attention and listening and attracting that in, what could come out of it?
You bet. Stuff like the polio vaccine and, you know, anybody wonder why we don't have a cure for cancer yet? Because we haven't asked for it. We wear our yellow ribbons and we bond around not having one. But we have not said, I demand a cure for this disease. I demand beautiful, amazing, incredible health. I demand that new thought around this dis-ease we call cancer. And when the majority of us do that, I got myself in big trouble, let me tell you, because I was asked to speak at a breast cancer awareness dinner where there were thousands of women. And the first thing I said was, wouldn't it be great if next year you didn't have to be here? But they didn't like that, see?
Well, that's the thing. There's a whole community built up around all the, yeah. Well, there's several issues there, but I won't go there either right now. But speaking of healing, you do healing work as well?
Oh, yes. I do private sessions from all over the world every day. I've got two call-in, free call-in shows of my own every week where people can call in and ask about anything, and the channel will give them advice. Do webinars once a month. I have a beautiful program. Oh, so excited. Every time you think about it, I get, my heart gets full. You know what I'm talking about? When you get or given a divine idea and your heart just goes, oh, yeah. That. So I know that the cornerstone of everything is self-love. And most of us are not taught to love ourselves at all. Actually, when I talk about it, people go, I don't know how to do that, Dee.
Mm-hmm.
How do you love yourself? So I created a program called the Gratitude of Self-Love that I'm going to roll out for November. And every day there is a guide. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, wow, something weird happened. I went, whoa, I think you went into the ethers there.
And you're back.
So every day is like a guided experience or something to lead you into the experience, because love is an experience. You can talk about love till, you know, we're all blue in the face, and you'll never know what love is. We know that. Yeah. Love is a newborn baby. Love is a new relationship. Love changes the way you look at the world. When you are in love, you change. And so this whole program are daily experiences of taking yourself into loving yourself. And I have hundreds of testimonials around how loving yourself. Well, I've got one gentleman that I've been working with for a couple of years who wasn't supposed to live through the year because his AIDS was so bad, and they've just told him he's AIDS-free, that his count is so good now that he's not threatened anymore. And he said, Dee, I swear it's all because, you know, this work is all about I accept me, I love me, I'm incredible, I'm magnificent, and I just decided I was going to love me and love the world, and that's what it's all about. And again, I hear people out there in the field going, oh, breathy, geez, come on. And I'm telling you, that's the highest truth through my channel. Everything can be healed through love. Everything can be created through love. But love is an experience, not just words. You know, I think people get so tripped up on the affirmation, right, and the prayer stuff, and it's just words. They don't have the experience of the joy and the magnificence of what they're praying for or what they're affirming. I mean, I was on a treadmill for a year going, I'm a happy, successful working actress, and the only thing that changed was my butt. Because I had no belief, I had no experience going on in my heart and my gut about being a successful working actress at the time.
So how did you change that? How did you connect in and really do that work on that deep level?
You know, the way I describe it is, your work is to bring yourself in harmony with everything you want. So if you're going, well, I need money and I hate it that I never have any money and I'm always freaking worried about money and you know, subconsciously I've got all these beliefs that money's the root of all evil and I'm probably going to do drugs if I get too much money and I'll lose my spirituality. Hi, universe, please, could I have more money? Is not in harmony, right? We got all this judgment going on. And then we're asking for the very thing we're in judgment about. Can't happen. You have to get yourself into harmony. What would it feel like to have all the money you wanted and to be able to lovingly and in an empowered way take care of yourself, love others with your money, serve society with your money? Because money has no power at all. Money's just a form of an exchange of energy. Our consciousness directs what we do with the money. So we have to get ourselves in harmony. You know, I work with women all the time who are trying to create a new relationship in their life, and the first thing they say is, well, I don't want to attract another asshole. Right? So all of their focus are on all of the relationships that they've created that they haven't been happy with, instead of, okay, I learned that my focus was on all these things now for five relationships. I've learned it. I must be focusing on the wrong thing, because that's what I keep creating. What do I want? Well, I want to be honored and respected and held special. and sexually celebrated. But I've got to be that to myself first. I've got to honor me. I've got to respect me. Because otherwise, it's like walking into a room and going, "Hi, I don't love me, I don't respect me, I don't, you know, really think I'm a really good catch here." And all the losers in the room are going, "Hi, I'm a taker. I'm somebody that doesn't want to honor or respect anybody. You want to go out?" So we have to bring ourselves into harmony and love, everything we want. And that begins with ourselves.
What about all the programming from, well, birth? As you say, we're not taught to love ourselves, and we're taught a lot of other things that aren't in support of harmony either. What's your take on programming and changing beliefs?
That it's up to me. Nobody else is going to do it. If I don't want the thoughts that my mother and father thought, I get to change them. I'm the God of me. I'm the creator of me. Programming that you've gotten from religion, and who hasn't, if it's limiting, if it's disempowering, if it makes you in judgment of yourself, you know that's not what you want. Choose another thought. Choose another perspective. Parent yourself. We've got to come forward and parent ourselves, because for the most part, it's the little boy and the little girl that are running the show here. That's who's in fear. And we've got to take them energetically and love them and go, "Dude, I know why you're scared of men abandoning you." In my case, you had a father who was an alcoholic and you never knew if he was going to be there. I understand, little girl, but that's not what we want. We want to create a man who is always there, that we can depend on, who is whole, complete in himself, who can share a life of completeness with us. That's what we want. And so I am going to take you and keep you safe and hold you safe, and we're going to create this together. But you see, you have to love yourself enough to parent yourself into a greater empowerment of the creation of you.
What about, I mean, this is, we're still all dealing with the conscious level of awareness levels, things we're aware of and aware that we want. What about the subconscious crap in there?
Well, I think it's a lot easier than Freud and everybody else makes it out to be. If your life isn't showing up the way you want it to, you know you have conscious or subconscious beliefs that are supporting the non-creation of that. So let's say I know consciously I want money, but I'm not creating money. So get a good friend or sit down and write everything, just purge every thought you've ever had about money, and then everything that your parents said about money, and what they didn't say. What did your childhood look like around money? One of my biggest messages was, they have money, we're the good people. So we don't have a pot to piss in, Dee Dee, but we're the good people, a.k.a. the good people don't have money. So if you have money, you're an asshole. And if you sit down and start putting all those things together, then you can go, "Well, I don't want this. This is a stupid belief. This is a limiting belief. This is holding me down. I don't want this. What do I want? I want to know that there are a lot of great people in the world that have money. Bill Gates and Oprah, they do a lot of good stuff with their money. My friend in Kansas City has tons of money and is beautifully giving to charities and her friends and her support system. I mean, your consciousness decides who you are, whether you have money or not. And if you are conscious, which is why I wrote conscious creation, it's a process of being conscious every moment in your life. And when you feel like you're going into the toilet, or you start getting angry, or you go into reaction about something, you've got to know there's a pony in the poop in that. And it's your job, your joy in the expansion of you, to go, whoa, I'm not going to let myself get away with that violent reaction. What triggered it? Where's the pony for me that I can put something in me at rest and start empowering me to create more? This is how I've tripled my income, by really being conscious of the limitations of the messages that we're running my money. And money and love and self-worth, and how that all tied in with each other. And safety. Safety is a big part of it, you see. If we don't have money, we're not safe. So we've equated, I have to have money to be safe. But as my mother says, we get it backwards. We need to know we're safe. We need to create the experience of being safe and secure in this world so we can create money. Mm-hmm. We have to be joy and love to create joy and love in every subject. We have to be in love with ourselves to attract the person who will honor and love us and be in love with us. It all starts with us. That's the good part, and that's the challenging part. Because way, 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 way long ago, when religion and politics were married, everyone was taught for eons that they had no power and they had to go to a higher being, whether it was a king or a priest or whatever, to even ask for any power in their lives. Well, we've got to take that back now. It's BS. It always was BS. God said, these things and more will you do also. We've been given the permission, but the energy cannot intercede until we help ourselves by changing our thoughts and our perspectives and our electrical charges that we send out to the universe.
That's great. And, hey, we didn't even need permission, did we?
No. You had the power all along, Dorothy. You know, wasn't the wizard. It was you. And that,
now, I've got to ask a question here. I'm just looking through some of the, I don't usually read through interview points, but yours were intriguing, so I was reading through them. And the first one just caught my eye. I've got to ask why. Your role in ET, why was that not only the greatest gift, but your greatest setback?
Well, because of exactly what we're talking about now. In Bright Light, I write about this moment, which kind of sums up my childhood, where I was coming back from a ballet recital, and it had been my first solo, and I had worked and worked and worked and worked to be able to do these forte turns and not fall off the stage. And you have to kind of picture this. We're in the car. My mom's driving. My aunt is in the driver's seat, and I'm in the middle, in the back, before the days where we had to wear seatbelts. And I'm reliving in my little 8-year-old mind doing my solo and just being filled up with happiness and joy about how well I had done for my teacher. And I just blurted out, "Oh, Mommy, I was good. I was really, really good." And my aunt turned around to me and pointed her finger at me and said, "Deanna Bowers, don't you ever, ever say you're good. You let other people say you're good. Good little girls don't ever say they're good." So I was always taught, you know, and my mom said, "Absolutely, Dee Dee, be an actress. You'd be a great actress. Just stay in Kansas." So be great, but don't ever say you're great. Don't ever claim you're great. It's your job to be great in everything you do, but you don't ever claim that you are. You don't ever acknowledge that you are. And so here comes E.T. You know, my story's kind of unheard of. Never been out of Kansas in my life. Moved to New York by myself. Within a little over five years, I went from leaving Kansas to starring in the biggest blockbuster of all time. Now, that's freaking unheard of in my business. And all of a sudden, everybody was going, "Look how good Dee Wallace is." And the little girl in me, totally, "No, no, 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 no. You can't say that. I can't be that. This isn't okay. Mommy won't be happy. God won't be happy. You know, I've got to shut me down." And I did. I did for about 20 years.
Wow.
I could not come forward and claim my greatness again because of all those messages that were based in religion, those moral, beautiful moral lessons about disempowerment. And I always, always, always knew they were false. And all those 20 years, and then my husband died, my beloved Christopher died, and that's when I fell on the floor and said, "I don't want to be a victim anymore. I don't want to be angry anymore. I want my light back, and I want a way we can heal ourselves." Well, therein lies the power of ask and you receive, because within seconds, I got my first channeled message: use the light within yourself to heal yourself. And that is my message to everyone. You are the light that heals you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, chemically, cosmically, and dimensionally. You're the light that chooses what direction you point your light at.
Oh, well, that sums that up perfectly. And you are the light. That is beautiful. And I'm so glad that you listened and wrote and stepped in. And, you know, it's, a lot of people are hearing the calls out there, and they're not stepping up yet. And now is the time more than ever. And thank God you did. And thank you so much for what you've done and what you're doing. And I hope you'll come back, Dee.
Oh, thank you. This has just been a lovely, lovely interview. Really, just flown by, and I felt like we just had some beautiful moments together. I'm very much in appreciation. Thank you so much, and many blessings to your audience.
Thank you so much, Dee Wallace. It's been an awesome pleasure, and I do look forward to talking to you again, and I hope you'll come back.
Absolutely.
All right. You take care, and keep us in the Dee Wallace loop.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Again, if you've missed any of that, Free All the Time, newsforthesoul.com is where you go. We're not done. We're just getting warmed up today. Of course, we've got open lines in 1 hour from now with the amazing, who is amazing? Everyone's amazing. Eva Maria Mora. She does quantum angel healing, and we do that live, open lines, in 1 hour from now. We've got an amazing epic replay for the next hour, and then we continue on this lovely Friday the 13th on News for the Soul. That was so fun talking to Dee. I sure hope she'll come back, because that was really great. All right, so hang in there, stick around. We've got lots more coming right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.